Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, I'm so happy to be here this morning. And honestly speaking, my English will be very challenging. So I beg you to have your ears. And then if you don't understand anything, just call on me. And then I will repeat it again. Thank you all for supporting us, supporting WIDE, in which I am involved, that by the grace of God, and things that are happening in my life, in my country, show that God is in this ministry world. It is unique when I look at the atmosphere of my country and of Africa in general. We have departed from the Bible, and we are preaching ourselves, or you are preaching some books that are not biblically grounded. So WIDE came on the way to bring us closer to God, to help us go and also gather some few people we can disciple and help them to disciple others. And the influence is very, very, brilliant. Let me put it that way. Couples have changed. Many people who were about to separate, divorce, they came together. Families are built. And some pastors who have never gone to Bible school through the word material have been able to preach the word as it should be. Yeah. And the young people, most of them have discovered their passion for what God has made them for. And therefore, they are so grateful to know ministry called WIDE. And then for me, usually I say it, I've decided to say, oh Lord, I believe that this is the time for you to use me around the Africa, whole Africa, to go with this material and teach people. So I'm giving myself to you to use me in WIDE as you want, fully, full time. And I believe God is doing things through you people as you are praying for us and supporting us, that we can really commit ourselves to this ministry. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really appreciate. Thank you, Mike, for bringing me here. America is very nice. America is good. You have a lot of things that we do not have. You have school, very good school. Plenty food. There's food everywhere. At the church, there's food. At home, there's food. Everywhere, there's food. What we do not have. Like this auditorium, maybe a classroom in my country. And then we can have up to 200 students in this building, and one teacher to take over all the 200 people. That is what is really going on in Africa. And the leadership is poor. Now I'm 47. Four and seven. I know just one family to be in power in my country. This small Togo. No change of leadership. Those who have been secretary, they are still the same people in power. So there's no challenge. There's no mind that, okay, how can I improve better? Because only one person is leading the country for more than 60 years now. And we believe that as we go with God's word, to some few group of people, revival can come. God can change things. So this is our hope. And we believe that you are praying with us that it come to pass. Thank you so much. Yes, with this in mind, and the challenges that we are going through in the whole world, I'm going to share two words. Yes, from two words this morning. We will start from the book of Joshua, and I will finish in the New Testament. And I would like to offer a prayer once again before I start the message. Heavenly Father, our God and our Lord, we appreciate you, we love you, we honor you, we give you all the glory for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us from darkness, and thank you for bringing us in the light where we are seated with you in the heavenly places. Thank you for being with us, strengthening us every day. As we have come this morning together to hear your word, may you speak to us, may you strengthen us and help us to understand you more and to continue serving you. Thank you for this congregation, a blessed one. May you pour your blessing upon them as we share your word together. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm sharing the two pillars of a successful Christian life. One pillar, second pillar, make two, that will make, or that is making our Christian life successful. The first text that we are going to read should be in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. I will be happy that you read the text with me, okay? Can someone read just verse 1 and 2 for me? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
The first two verses?
Yes, the first two verses. Anyone to help us with it? Okay? That's how you can go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Yes, we are in a context here where it is a question of death. Somebody is gone. And this one who is gone was Moses. And so we knew him, Moses, to be a prophet of the Lord who God has used to deliver the people from the slavery of Egypt. And then he led the people through the wilderness, bringing them to Canaan, the land of promise. And this great man of God was dead. And Joshua has to take the lead. It will not be easy. We know what death brings in our families. If a loved one is dead, it brings troubles. We become hopeless sometimes. If we don't have God, we lose everything. So this is the situation in which they are living. All the people of Israel, they were confused because Moses was gone. And Joshua had to go to take them to the promised land. How can that happen? God has told him, Moses, my servant, is dead. That is a fact. It is not a joke. It is not, if you are doubting that he's dead, I'm the Lord, I'm telling you that Moses is really dead. He's no more there to help you. But you are going to take them to the promised land. So, what can you do? What should be the tool in your hand to be able to lead the people to the land? He will tell him in the verses that I want to read quickly, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong. Whenever it is written to be strong, it means that weaknesses will come over. There's something that will make you weak. And then God is encouraging him to be strong. It means that challenges will come on the way. Problems will come on the way. And then many people may rise against him. He has experienced what the Israelites did to Moses. The Israelites, the way they contend with Moses, they wanted even to kill him. So Joshua had been with him and now facing his people who would do the same thing to him. And also the people in the land they are going to inherit. It is a great challenge. So he needs what? Courage. He needs to be very strong. Now, to be able, the first word that I want us to look at here this morning is the word of God. The first pillar to make us stand, to be strong, is the word of God. Without the word of God, we can do nothing. In the word of God, he will go and tell him in chapter verse 8. If you want to read it to me, that will be good. Someone to read it to me? Verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. 8 and 9. Pastor, okay, thank you.
Okay. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Mm-hmm. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen. This book of the law, this Bible, those days it was just 5, the Pentateuch. We do not have the whole Bible as we have it today. Before you can be able to succeed, to lead the people to the land of promise, you have to keep the word of God. You have to put this word in your heart. You have to meditate this word day and night. And I'm just asking myself, oh Lord, how can you demand so heavy from someone? He's a married man. He has his children to raise. His wife is there. Just, you are not asking him to meditate the word just for a day. You are asking him day and night. So it means that he doesn't have any other time to depart from the word, but he needs to have the word all the days, every time, every minute, every second of his life. So a child of God, a servant of God, can never imagine to be prosperous or succeed in anything if this word of God is not the pillar, the gun in his hand. That's what God told him. Do not let this book of the law depart from thy mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And the word of God is actually the Lord Jesus Christ, who has become flesh. The word become flesh. And the word has been among his people. He was the light of the world. He was the one who died on the cross for us. As we look at him, as we meditate upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, he took our sin, He had been crucified. He was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead for our justification. And so when we believe this word, as we continue to contemplate, to meditate upon what the Lord Jesus had done, we are the most prosperous one in the world. The one who has the word of God, Jesus Christ, he has everything. There's nothing else better than the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we looking for? Anyway, he came on the word and he went back. Are we not going also to go one day? All of us, we are going to go. But we need him and him alone. So that everything that we do, we are sure that you are doing it according to his will. Look, so surprising. This guy we are talking about, Joshua. No, the law, Moses can never take us to heaven. That is the law. Moses stands for the law. And Joshua, salvation, stands for grace. We are saved by grace. No, people are preaching today, obey the third commandment. Do this, do that, and then you go to heaven. That is not true. Moses could not go to heaven with the law. But it took Joshua, meaning the Lord is my salvation, to take us to the promised land. Jesus Christ alone can take us to heaven. And I'm so happy to know that all of you here, you have opened your heart, that the Holy Spirit take hold of it and take you to heaven as you are washed by the blood of the Lamb, as you have decided that Jesus Christ will be the unique Savior for you. I'm so glad to know that. And your commitment to be here is a sign. So, the word of God, actually, I want to emphasize on some of the things concerning the word of God. First of all, can we read John chapter 17, verse 17? John 17, 17. Yes, John 17, verse 17. Can I go ahead? Okay, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification. Actually, most of the time, even in my country, salvation is people don't understand salvation. Three levels of salvation. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe in Jesus, our spirit, which has been separated from God, is saved. That is why we can boldly say that once saved, forever saved. The spirit is saved once for all. Now, the soul is in process of sanctification. And nothing can sanctify the soul without the word of God. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Your word is light. Your word change. As it is put in Romans 12, that we have to renew our mind. We renew our mind toward the word of God every day of our life. The word of God is the lamp on our feet. In the Psalm, David said that, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, so that I will not sin against you." If you want to be separated from sin, we need to have what? The word of God in our heart. as we come here today, it should not be something about coming to church. We should do it everywhere we are. Morning devotion in our houses, we need to have a verse in our heart. We need to give verses to our children. Because the world is becoming worse. And if they don't have the word of God, when we die, we'll be weeping in the heaven because your child will be going through things that we never love or like to see him do. So, the word of God sanctifies us. Before the departure of our brother, Paul, from Ephesus, he says something that I really, really like. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. Yeah. Now, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Paul was about to leave Ephesus. This is his speech of farewell, that I will not see you again. But what do I have to give to you? What I have to give to you is the word of God. I command you to God and to the word of his grace. The word of God will build you up. The word of God will make you strong before the temptation and any kind of evil that will come in the world. If you have the word of God, you will be strong as a mountain. And that what he has to give to them. He didn't have money for them. He didn't have a house for them. But he has what? The word of grace. That hold on it. Every day of your life. We build our Christian life through the word of God. And I know when you have the word of God and then you are strong, we need one more thing. That also is very, very important for us. And Jesus has demonstrated it. The second thing I want to talk about is prayer. The word of God, the first pillar. The second pillar is prayer. When he came in this world, he was God. 100% God, 100% man. No one has prayed like the Lord Jesus Christ. If God pray, should we not pray? Yeah, and he's commanding us to do it without ceasing. Continuously. That means whether you are bathing, taking your shower, while driving, cooking, you should continue praying. So it is your connection with God from your heart. It is not necessary that you have to come to the church like what is going in Africa. We come, we shout and say, hey, today I have prayed. That is not the case. It is something that we have to be doing every day. That is a meditation. As you contemplate God, should you not be grateful? As you see what the Lord Jesus had done for you on the cross. Should you not be grateful for him? He took your sin. He gave you life. And then abundant life. We'll be grateful. And it will not be for one day. It will be every day we should be grateful for what the Lord has done to us. Look at what Jesus has done. In the book of John, chapter 17, Jesus took the whole chapter, the entire chapter, to do what? To pray. And it is so good, so nice. See how he was committed to prayer. He knows the benefit of the prayer. If our countries are divided, Pastor said it this morning, everywhere division, even the houses division. Children are not with their parents. You see them physically, but they are not with you. What can we do? Look at it. John 17, verse 11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. The name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. You take prayer. When you want to bring unity, it is through prayer. Jesus Christ showed it. He said, Father, you alone can help them to be one. As human beings, we can continue to encourage people, but I know that you can make them to be one. That's the reason why I'm calling upon your name, Holy Father. As you and I, we are, I'm praying you. Let them also be one. So, oneness, uniqueness that we are talking about to build one body, it needs prayer from the saint. Every day, we need to continue praying for unity. Oh Lord, bring those people who are astray, going astray, to come to the body. Most of the time, many people, you see them, as I'm talking about Africa, well, you see many people coming to church, but they are not saved. They seem to be in the body, but they are not in. Mm. But the true shepherd, the Holy Spirit, as we pray, continue praying, people are sharing the word, sowing the seed. The Holy Spirit will quick them and bring them together and they will be one. So prayer is so important for us so that we can be one. And verse 20, 21, the same chapter, my prayer is not for them alone. Jesus anticipated. When he was praying, he anticipated and said this, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. Jesus, I pray for you and I. Even though he's continued praying, now interceding for us, he showed the disciple, the apostle, that I have not prayed for you alone, but all those who will believe, I'm praying for them. Why? That all of them may be one. Is it not amazing?
It is.
So wonderful and very important that we should be one through prayer. Yes, Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Let me give you again a testimony in my country. When the woman go to church, pastor will tell him, he heard that, okay, forget about your husband. Forget about him. You are going to heaven. Dividing families. No. The husband is the head of the family, right? And if there's anything to do, submit yourself to your husband. Let's continue praying. We believe that through your life, character that word has offered to us, if you live a life that can impact your husband, he will come to the Lord. So we are not preaching unity, but separation. Statistics has proved that those who the couple that have been with their children, both of them, almost 90% of the children has made it. But couples where the father is somewhere, the mother is somewhere, the children could not succeed. So it is our duty as Christians to do what? Continue praying for couples. We think that in our part, the devil is this, in the center of everything that we are going through. Many people are saying that Satan is doing this or that. But it is our character. When word bring the subject on character, let me be honest with you. One of the team members, Pastor Louis, one day he was teaching on character, everybody was weeping. They have come to understand that it's not the devil. The problem is my character. If I cannot submit to my husband, how can I build my house? If I cannot be a prayerful woman, a prayerful man, if I don't have the word of God, how can I have peace in my house? I have opened the door for everything to enter. So there will be confusion. So we need to change our character. And this subject, everywhere that we go with the word, those who have heard about it say, okay, we don't want anything. Teach us about character. And there's no choice. And Mike can testify. If I send a report for the new place we go to, there's no way we start by character. It is very important. It builds, that is the foundation of our life, to have a good character so that we can influence people. Okay, so I'm talking about prayer. Very important that we need to continue praying so that we can be in one mind, you can be unique. But Jesus has made a prayer, and that was amazing. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 31. I would like one of our mother to read that for us. Ladies, women, Luke, chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Are you here there? Can you read that for us? Okay, yeah.
Okay. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat.
Yeah, go ahead. Two, ten, 30. Yeah, yeah.
But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.
Amen. I don't know if we have ever meditated upon this scripture. We are dealing with Peter, Simon, the number one of the church. When the Holy Spirit came, he was the one appointed by the Lord to start this testimony. He was the one who preached the first sermon for about 200 or 3,000 people to be saved. And this one, this guy, was about to be caught or captured by the devil. And Satan wanted to... Satan wants to devour him. And Jesus has seen that one far away. They said, Peter, you know that something is going to happen to you? You are going to die. Satan is there to hinder the way that I have assigned you to do. But you know what? One thing that can save us for that situation is prayer. I have prayed for you that your faith may not faint. Because he know that if Peter could not stand, there will be a problem for the church. It is true, he can take anybody, he can choose anyone. But Peter was the one appointed for that particular time to do the work. So, you understand with me why the Lord said, pray and ask, my Father who are in heaven, that will be done. He said, deliver us from the evil one. It is a daily prayer that we have to be offering. If Jesus had not prayed for Peter, what should happen? Prayer is important. Prayer is one of the key. The word of God in this side, prayer should be at this side for us. And it takes you and I, those who are sanctified. In the book of James, Elijah was a righteous man. And God listened or hear the prayers of the righteous people. You and I, being justified by faith in Christ Jesus, we are the righteous man. And God is waiting to hear a word from you, a word from my mouth as a prayer, so that he can do what? Do wonders in the world. No one knows when Jesus prayed for Peter. He didn't call people, hey, come together, we have to pray for Peter. He said, I have prayed for you. So meaning that he has been doing it every day. You may pray for your pastor. You may pray for your country. Not only in the church. But as the Holy Spirit prompts you, say a word to the Lord. Tell him, God, remember our country. Remember the church. It is sufficient. God does not need a lot from us. He needs sometimes a word. Say a word and your servant will be healed. That's what it is. A word to the Lord will change the whole situation. Anyway, today, I'm so happy. I'm so glad to be here. And thank you for avail yourself to have me. How many black men do you have here? Just one. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And I continue to encourage all of you to be immersed in the word of God and also to continue in prayers. God bless you.